It is wonderful to be back here at Sinai Temple. I am Rabbi Daniel Graber. And when I was last on this bima, I was the rabbinic intern at Sinai Temple from the fall of 2001 until the spring of 2002. There are many familiar faces and many new faces, and it is wonderful to be back. On November 10th, 2005, precisely 1 year after this photograph was flashed around the world on the internet and in newspapers, Lance Corporal James Blake Miller was medically discharged from the Marine Corps, diagnosed with full-blown post-traumatic stress disorder. 3 years after leaving the Kentucky Hills for a career in the Corps, he was back home. He feels adrift and tormented, dependent on his new bride, his family, and his military psychiatrist to help him make sense of all that has befallen him. He barely sleeps. On most mornings, Blake says, he has no good reason to get out of bed. Often his stomach is so upset that he can't eat. He has nightmares and flashbacks. He admits that he is often grouchy and temperamental. He knows that he drinks and smokes too much. He is not the same as before, said Blake's wife, Jessica, who has known him since grade school. I've never seen the anger, the irritability, the anxiety, Jessica says. Blake says he feels guilty about taking money, about taking $2,528 a month in military disability checks for doing nothing, he says. Yet he's also frustrated that two careers made possible by his military training, being a police officer or a U.S. Marshal, are out of reach because law enforcement is reluctant to hire candidates with post-traumatic stress disorder. So he broods, feeling restless and out of options. Blake says, I'm only 21. I'm able-bodied, yet I'm considered a liability. He says, it's like I had all these doorways open to me, and suddenly they all closed on me. It's like my life is over. So reads an article from the Los Angeles Times, May 19, 2006. It is just a few paragraphs from just one article about one soldier, but his story is not unique. Ordinary people, said Blake's wife Jessica, can't comprehend what it's like to be constantly shot at and to have to kill other human beings. They need to know, Jessica says, what it means to send people like Blake out to fight wars. You're going to have a lot of people breaking. Jessica is right. We cannot understand what it is like to be shot at, to have to kill another human being, but we do have to try. For American Jews, the past year has been one defined by war in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Gaza, in Lebanon. With so many young people placed in harm's way, we need to remember the toll that war takes not just upon the bodies of those who are killed and the thousands more of those who are injured, but upon the toll that war takes on the soul. In next week's Parsha, Yaakov returns not just to the land of Israel, but to confront his brother Esav, who in last week's Parsha was in a murderous rage because Jacob had stolen the blessing from their father. Jacob sends messengers to greet Esau, and the messengers returned with word that Esav is coming to meet him, and 400 men are with him. And the Torah says At that moment, Vayira Yaakov Be'od Vayetzer Lo, which translates to something like Jacob was very afraid and he was distressed, about which the commentators ask, why the repetition? It would have been enough to say Vayira Yaakov, he was afraid. And Rashi says that these two expressions relate two kinds of fear, Vayira Shema Yehareg. He was afraid lest he would be killed in battle. Vayetzer lo im yaharog et hu et acherin, lest Yaakov would have to kill others in battle. Jacob feared to go to war. My father told me how in his childhood he used to be awakened in the middle of the night by the terrible screams of his own father, who was awakened by nightmares from when he fought in the American army and was wounded in the trenches of France in World War I. War leaves its scars not only on those who are killed, but on those who are injured or who survive the terror of battle only to relive it for years and years to come. It is right to be afraid. Yaakov also feared lest he kill others. A few years ago, I sat across the table at a local restaurant and held the hand of a man who trembled and cried as he told me stories from World War II that he had told to no one else in the world in 60 years, not to his wife, not to his children, not to his friends. Some were heroic stories, but others had weighed upon him for 60 years alone. Some were stories of close calls he survived, but what haunted him were the things he did, the things he had to do. He had to kill others. As I grow closer to meeting my Creator, he said to me, I don't know what to say, Rabbi. As Jessica said, war creates a lot of broken people, and it is we who must help them to heal. One of the most devastating descriptions of what war demands of a soldier, of what it does to his soul, comes from an HBO miniseries called The Band of Brothers, based upon Stephen Ambrose's historical work, which follows the experiences of the 101st Airborne Division in World War II. In the miniseries, Lieutenant Ronald Spears is an infamous figure in the outfit. Late in the war, Spears takes over command of Easy Company during a crucial attack on the town of Foy and heroically leads the company to victory with almost superhero-like acts of bravery. Earlier in the war, Spears counsels a private Blythe. After Blythe confessed to him that when he landed at D-Day, he did not join up with his unit, he did not fight, and that now in the war he was having trouble because he was so terrified. And this is what Spears told him. We're all scared, says Spears. You hid in that ditch because you think there's still hope. But Blythe, the only thing you have to accept, the only thing you have is to accept the fact that you are already dead. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you'll be able to function as a soldier is supposed to function, without mercy, without compassion, without remorse. All war depends on it. My heart breaks when I hear those words. My heart breaks when I think, even if just for a moment, that what we ask of a soldier to function in a time of war is to accept the fact that they are already dead. That we ask young men and young women to function without mercy or compassion or remorse. I, of course, hope that that is not what we ask of our soldiers. I hope that this is not what war becomes in the hearts of our soldiers. But I have not faced the terror of a battlefield, and I have to recognize that that may be what the temporary moment of battle requires so that a more permanent peace may prevail. The battlefield's casualties are not measured only in lives lost. They are measured in souls which are coarsened and damaged, sometimes forever. They are measured in cases of post-traumatic stress disorder. In the words of Lance Corporal Blake, "I'm only 21, and it's like I had all these doors open to me, and suddenly they're all closed, and it's like my life is over." My heart breaks when I think of all of the soldiers who are at war right now, at this very moment. Few things unite Americans across the political spectrum, but Blake's wife Jessica is right. Ordinary people, you and I, we need to know what it means to send people like Blake out to fight wars. There are a lot of people breaking, and we must do whatever we can to take care of them while they are away and when they return. I am both proud and ashamed to tell you that a part of me wants to enlist in the armed forces. I am proud because of the patriotism that wells up in me at that feeling, and ashamed that it is an impulse I have yet to follow through on. As a rabbi, I can think of few more honorable ways to serve God than to try to bring God's light to Jewish and non-Jewish soldiers serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I feel spoiled and small in my car and my suit and drinking my coffee when others answer our nation's call. I feel guilt when I think of my own grandfather who served in World War I, my father who served in World War II in the Navy, but I have not volunteered. I would do my duty if called. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I wish that our country did have a draft or some sort of compulsory period of national service that would give all Americans a much deeper sensitivity to the sacrifice upon which America's freedom survives. In August of this year, former Defense Secretary Rumsfeld testified that approximately 133,000 American troops were in Iraq. And in October of this year, Rumsfeld wrote that approximately 20,000 American troops were in Afghanistan. That is conservatively more than 150,000 Americans who spent their Thanksgiving and will spend this upcoming holiday season not with their families, as we will, but in a war-torn country, in war-torn countries thousands of miles away from their families, from their spouses, their parents, and their children. And we shouldn't forget that troops rotate, that many other soldiers have gone and come home, and many others, including my own brother-in-law, may go. So the number is much higher. What is the Jewish response at this moment in history as we find ourselves between Thanksgiving and Hanukkah or the holiday season in the midst of the holiday season? What should we do as American Jews? First, I want you to know that it is appropriate and fitting and important for us as Jews to pray for the well-being of American soldiers and those of the coalition. The rabbis taught Malchuta Dina de Malchuta Dina, that we as Jews accept the law of the land. And in fact, we first should pray for the welfare of the land in which we find ourselves. Says the prophet Jeremiah, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have caused you to be exiled, and pray to God on its behalf." That is the reason why in our own Siddur Sim Shalom, the prayer for our country, which we read this morning, precedes the prayer for the state of Israel. In our prayers each Shabbat and each day, we should pray for the welfare of American soldiers. We should pray that God protects both their bodies and their souls, and God returns them to their families in peace, and that they find comfort and healing once this war, God willing, comes to an end. Second, we should feel and express a sense of gratitude for their sacrifice. As people who enjoy freedom, as people who this holiday season will enjoy the blessings of an ordinary life, fighting traffic and waiting in long lines at the airport, we should feel gratitude to those who volunteered to serve in the armed forces and have given up what we too often take for granted. But beyond just feeling grateful, we should express our gratitude. I want to invite every person in this room who is a veteran of the armed forces to please rise. Please stand up in your seats if you are a veteran of the armed forces. They deserve our applause. When you see an American soldier in an airport or on the street, walk up to them and thank them for their service. Buy them a meal. If you have a business, give a discount to soldiers. We should be connected with what happens there. You can read what are called mil blogs. They are blogs written on the internet by soldiers who are on the front lines right now. You can easily send emails. Go to kcal9.com. They have a link, messages to the military. You can send them a quick email that tells them, you are not forgotten, you are not alone. The American Jewish community remembers you. The root of the Hebrew word to thank, lehodot, also means to acknowledge, because one way that we show our thanks is by taking an interest, by acknowledging the reality of the war that is theirs and should be ours too. Third, beyond prayers and writing letters, we can do something concrete. We can give. And we can make veterans' affairs a political issue that we care about. It is nothing short of a disgrace that veterans in this country lack. They lack adequate counseling. They lack adequate medical care, rehabilitation, benefits. I saw a news story that there are thousands of soldiers' families sending soldiers in Iraq silly string. Why? Because when you spray silly string into a doorway, it falls through the doorway, and if there's a wire there for a booby trap, then it shows you that the wire is there but doesn't set it off. And why are American soldiers' families sending them silly string? Because the military isn't giving it to them. We can send them silly string and save a life. Every one of the 150,000 troops in Iraq and Afghanistan should receive not one, but dozens of care packages this holiday season. In cooperation with Rabbi Wolpe and the synagogue, I want to share with you the names of a few organizations that are sending care packages to American soldiers overseas this holiday, because I want Sinai Temple to continue to demonstrate to the larger Jewish community how caring about America is a Jewish commitment, a Jewish obligation. First, there is the Jewish Chaplains Council of the Jewish Welfare Board. They make it possible for military personnel in Iraq and Afghanistan and all over the world to celebrate holidays. They will celebrate Hanukkah in a few weeks, Purim and Pesach in a few months, and Shabbat every week. The Jewish Welfare Board is a U.S. government accredited agency that serves the religious and educational and morale needs of the Jewish personnel in the armed forces and their families. They've been doing this since World War I. Second, you can participate in SOS, the SOS program of the Jewish War Veterans Association, to get packages to Jewish servicemen and women who are currently serving in Afghanistan. www.jwvjewishwarveterans.org. I talked to a woman named Ruby in the Washington office, and you can call and make a contribution to the SOS program and make sure that Jewish soldiers get a package this Hanukkah. In a thank you note to the Jewish war veterans, a soldier, Mordechai Schwab, there's no better Jewish name than that, Mordechai Schwab wrote, "I received your care packages you sent us. I distributed these gifts to Jewish soldiers here at Anaconda Balad in Iraq. It goes without saying, since you and those in the Jewish war veterans of the USA know this already, but for the soldiers here, many deployed for the first time, knowing they are not forgotten by fellow American Jews boosts their morale, reassures them that they are doing an important job, and increases their pride in being a Jewish soldier. On behalf of the soldiers here in Iraq, thank you for your thoughtfulness, kindness, and generosity," says Mordechai Schwab. And you can give of your time. We live close to the VA. There is something called the Volunteer Driver Corps. It's a group of more than 9,000 people nationwide who drive veterans to their VA medical center and clinic appointments as part of the Disabled American Veterans Volunteer Transportation Network. You can contact the volunteer service chief at the VA here in LA to do a mitzvah for a disabled veteran who is hurt while in service to our country. Finally, in this war, in this year of war, war in Gaza, war in Lebanon, war in Afghanistan, war in Iraq, as Jews, we can pray and pursue peace. In the words of the psalm which we read this morning, Sur Mera ve'aseh tov, bakesh shalom ve'rodfehu, turn from evil and do good, demand peace and pursue it at every turn. Every significant Jewish prayer, the Amidah, the Kaddish, the Birkat HaMazon, all end with a prayer and a hope for peace. Let me be clear, finding peace is not an uncomplicated process, as we are finding out, nor is it the purview of any political party. War is sometimes a necessary evil for a more lasting peace, and sometimes it is a mistake. As a rabbi, I am no more able to speak on which political party holds the keys to these decisions than anyone else in this room, but every strategy, every tactic, every decision our leaders make, as Jews, we can never lose sight of the horror of war and of the imperative to search for peace, of the hope that one day will come and our soldiers will come home. We pray for peace this Shabbat. Peace for Lance Corporal Blake and all soldiers who are at home now, but they don't feel at home. Peace for the soldiers still on the front lines. Peace for the families that this holiday season are filled with fear and anguish, while their loved ones are far away. Oseh shalom bimomav, we pray that the Holy One who makes peace in the heavens, who yaaseh shalom aleinu, he will make peace for us, ve'al kol Yisrael, and upon all Israel. And let us say, Amen.